Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, it's often been commented that much of the modern architecture of our capital city is increasingly generic. But people have mixed opinions too about some of our older buildings, and one classic example of that is Bussaras. The Sinn Féin TD Eoin O'Brien is an unapologetic fan and has now written a book about it, featuring pictures by Mal McCann. It's called The Dignity of Everyday Life, Celebrating Michael Scott's Bussaras, and Eoin joins us now in News Talk. Afternoon, Eoin.
Sean, good afternoon to you.
Was it always intended as a provincial bus station, or was there some other intention behind it originally?
Yeah, so back in the 1930s and early 40s, most provincial bus services picked people up down at the quays outside the customs house. So our grandparents and great-grandparents would have had to stand sometimes for many hours in the cold or the rain while they were waiting for the buses to Belfast or Donegal or Cork or Waterford. And there had been a growing clamour for quite some time to have what they called a central bus station, primarily to provide the provincial bus services. Bussaras wasn't the only location people talked about, but the idea behind it, I suppose, was to take people off the quays, out of the rain, and into a proper functioning bus station, predominantly for the counties outside of Dublin, which is one of the reasons why many Dubliners, myself included, have quite an ambivalent relationship to the bus station, because in fact, for many Dublin people, it's not a bus station that was used or used frequently, unless you had country relatives and travel by bus to see them periodically.
Yeah. Now, and the construction of it, the funding and construction of it, was it dogged by controversy a lot of the time?
It was. So, in fact, Bussaras was part of three buildings that the newly formed Corps Sumpir Éireann were tasked with by the then government. There was the Donnybrook bus garage, which many people will know. There's the chassis factory that built and repaired much of the hardware in Inchicore, and then there was Bussaras. The original idea was conceived in the mid-40s, planning permission applied for 46, and then construction started. But both the managing director of CIE, Reynolds, who was a veteran of the War of Independence in 1916, his backer, Sean Lamass, and the chief architect, they brought in commissioning architect Michael Scott and his team. They wanted to do something very ambitious. So, in fact, those three projects were the largest capital construction projects in Europe at the time, just after the Second World War. They started construction, but then, of course, the Fianna Fáil government of the day fell. The Cumann na Gael inter-party coalition that followed kind of saw this as a bit of a Fianna Fáil vanity project, didn't like the scale, the expense, and the extent to which it offered a range of wonderful amenities to the general public. Construction stopped for 3 years. There was raging rows in the Dáil and Dublin Corporation in the pages of various newspapers while they tried to decide what to do with it. And then in the end, when Fianna Fáil won the election on the other side of the short-run coalition, they decided to complete the building but split it in two. So you have the bus station as it is today, which is the bus concourse and the mezzanine floor, and then the Department of Social Welfare, now Social Protection, occupies the office blocks above that, which we know as Ars Victor-Mida.
Now, as it was originally envisaged by Michael Scott, it was going to be far more than a bus station.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that it was to be far more a bus station, but the services it was to provide for the public were to be far more. I mean, one of the things when I started on the research to the building, I suppose I was sparked by a wonderful tour that the Irish Architectural Foundation organised of the building during Open House Festival every October. And all of a sudden I realised there's actually far more in the building and about the building that if people knew, their attitude to it might be different. And the best way of putting it was Michael Scott and his team, fully supported by Percy Reynolds and Sean Lamass, wanted to have a bus station that not only gave people basic comfort out of the rain and with comfortable seats, but, for example, to give people access to a 24-hour newsreel cinema in the basement. This is back in Ireland when nobody had a television. They wanted to have access to a beautiful rooftop restaurant with balconies and panoramic views of Dublin and Dublin Bay on what was then the tallest building in Dublin, with beautiful mosaics designed by Patrick Scott. He was then an architect but went on to be one of the country's leading modernist abstract painters. There was to be a range of other facilities, a creche, a church, a variety of shops. And, you know, when I was interviewing Lisa Godson, for example, a cultural historian from NCAD, she was talking about the idea of the building was really to kind of, you know, celebrate the dignity of everyday life, give ordinary working people on their way to and from the city access to a wonderful public civic space, not for profit, but because people deserved it. This was a period where government, industry and culture were working together to ensure that regular working people had access to the best quality public services with the best possible amenities. Mm. Unfortunately, of course, because of the controversy, many aspects of the building, including the rooftop restaurant, were never open to the public. And therefore, the full experience of Busiris as a kind of a public space for the general public never really got off the ground to the extent that its original instigators wanted it to do.
Yeah, and I suppose people would still remember the Ablana that was there until, I think, the 90s, thereabouts. With
these. That's right. So the newsreel was up and running for a period of time, and Mal has wonderful photographs of the theatre space today. It was then a kind of a mid-sized theatre in Dublin. It was a very important theatre venue, smaller than, say, the Abbey or the Gate, but significant in that fact it was a 200-seater. And it did a whole range of very important and at times controversial plays. Last performance of Return to the Hill, it was in 1995, and literally from the following day, the place was closed, the dust gathered. When you go back into it today, as you'll see in Mal's photographs, you can still see the old programmes, you can still see the beautiful fittings and fixtures that were designed by Robin Walker and Scott and the team. But also there's still bottles of minerals and bits of newspapers from the mid-90s. And unfortunately, it has remained closed during all of that period. We interviewed a bunch of the current staff members of the Department of Social Protection in Busiris, as well as, for example, the lead actor in that final Return to the Hill play, Pádraig Murray. And many people believe, of course, that that theatre should be returned to a mid-sized cultural venue in the city, particularly available to that wider community of the northeast inner city.
Yeah. Are there any plans to give the place a bit of an overhaul? Because it's kind of a bit tatty at this stage.
Yeah. So one of the great things when I started the research is I went to meet Secretary General of the Department of Social Protection, John McKeown, and the regional manager for Busiris, Adrian O'Loughlin. And I discovered that both of them absolutely loved the building. Adrian has worked there over 20 years, starting at the ticket desk, and he's now the regional manager. And John McKeown has been at the department for about 3 years. And both had very advanced plans for the restoration of the building and modernising improvements like better disability access and better lighting, etc. And I've interviewed both of them at the end of the book for that. There's a little bit of controversy at the minute because Busiris has submitted a planning application to Dublin City Council for its refurbishment works. And the Arts Council have made an observation that to say that, look, should we not really restore the Ablana Theatre to a cultural space? Busiris want to have it as a training space for their members, where others think more could be done with that. So I do think it's really important, first of all, that those plans proceed, that they fully respect the integrity of the building as a protected structure and listed building, and they give the maximum public access to as many areas of the building as was originally intended by its designers. Because for me, what's really important about the building is not just that I find it interesting and attractive. There was a brief moment in the late 40s and early 50s where the group of individuals involved in this were saying, look, as a nation now beginning to take care of its citizens, should we not embrace some of those more overtly social democratic ideas that you were seeing in Britain and Scandinavian countries at the time, and have really high quality, publicly accessible public services and really good public space, but also access to beauty and culture through mosaics and all the rest of it. Unfortunately, that got lost, not just in the final version of Busiris, but in a lot of what we have done since.
Yeah, indeed. So I'm sorry, Owen, we're actually mad over time, though, but certainly take your point as a little bit of social democracy in a sea of neoliberalism in the architecture sense.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.